Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah continues our series, James, Faith in Motion, with a message titled, Practice Patience. Now here's Pastor Ray.
You done? So why don't you take your Bibles, if you would, and open to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We're in the bell lap of James. We're going to finish it up next week. We kind of been hurrying the second half of James, but James chapter 5 today. And I want to talk about something I have absolutely no success with, patience. You know, somebody else really should come up here and talk about this, but we're going to do it today. Patience, James chapter 5, and I'll read in just a moment. Someone has said that patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman, never in a man. So true, isn't it? You know, like most of you, one of my least favorite things in life is to wait. And the patience that it takes to do that. And sometimes impatience is my undoing. Years ago, I was in a hurry. I didn't want to wait. I wasn't paying attention. I was just go, go, go. Let's get this done. And I was backing out of a parking space, and bam, I smacked into a guy who was coming down the row in his car. I mean, I T-boned him. And I got out, I was going to assess the damage, and this guy got out, and then at first he was just white with shock, and then his whiteness was turning to redness as he was starting to get upset with me. And he looked at me and he said, "Didn't you see me back there?" Well, duh. I mean, don't you love it when people state the obvious? And I really felt like saying, "Yeah, I saw you back there, but my insurance premiums are way too low, and I wanted to fix it, so I smacked into you." But I didn't say that, not because I'm a godly man, but because I thought, you know, this guy will probably show up in church, and he'll see me up in behind the pulpit, and he'll go, "That's the guy that said my question was really stupid." So I didn't say that. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Because I didn't possess it that day, it cost me dearly. And I could walk every single one of you up on this platform behind this pulpit, and you could probably give me a testimony of how that has worked or didn't work in your life. Am I right? Shake your head at me and say yes, so I know that some of you are just not telling the truth. We all have stories like that. Our patience, impatience led to something negative in our lives. Our patience is a very big deal. Do you realize how much Scripture talks about it? I mean, throughout the Bible, there are at least 100 different times, 100 different ways that Scripture calls us to patience or to endurance or to perseverance or to waiting or to standing firm or to whatever. I mean, it's a big deal. And your patience and mine is a big deal to God. I mean, we kind of laugh about it. We know that we're not very good at it. But listen, your patience is a big deal to God. And that's why, apparently, he fills your life with plenty of opportunities to practice patience. Now, think about it. Think about this. On average, you will accumulate 2 years of your life waiting in line. Did you know that? They say, on average, we will spend 2 years of our lives waiting, just waiting in a line, probably at the DMV or the post office. But we spend 2 years of our lives waiting in line. Think about this. When you go out to eat at a restaurant, do you realize that you actually experience 5 different waits? Now think about this. You experience 5 different waits. You wait to be seated. You wait to get the menu. You wait to order. You wait for your food. And you wait for the bill. And they call the guy that serves you the waiter. I mean, come on, man. You are the waiter. The guy ought to be tipping you. We wait. Waiting. With so much waiting in life, we ought to be professionals at patience, right? But we're not. And that's why Scripture talks about it so much. And James is going to talk about it as well. James reminds us that an essential tool to a vibrant faith, to a faith in motion, is the discipline of waiting. The discipline. Waiting is not a natural thing. It's a discipline that we practice, the practice of patience, the discipline of waiting. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. The text that we're going to read uses the word patience or perseverance 6 different times. In 6 verses, he uses the word 6 different times, and he uses 3 illustrations to teach us when, why, and how to practice patience. And that's what we're going to talk about today. When, why, and how of patience. So let's see what James says. Verse 7, beginning in verse 7 down through verse 12, he says, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crops? There's illustration number one, the farmer. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crops, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. As an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. There's the second illustration. Take the prophets as an example who patiently spoke on the Lord's behalf. Verse 11, as you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance. There's the third illustration, Job's perseverance. And have seen what God finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Verse 12, above all, don't swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Now, before we move on into this, just to clarify, James is not promoting passivity or inaction in every circumstance of life. In fact, much of what James has already talked about so far has taught us that there's a time for action. That's why we call this series Faith in Motion. But there are other times when waiting, when patience really is what faith in motion is. Weird as that might sound, faith in motion requires we are to wait patiently. And so let's talk about the when, the why, and the how. Let's start off with the when. When do we need to wait patiently? James gives three reasons or three circumstances. The first is when circumstances are uncontrollable. The first season of waiting that he talks about is when circumstances are uncontrollable. And you have figured out by now that much of life is beyond our control, right? Much of life you cannot control. The economy slows, the company gets sold, a new boss is hired, motorcycle gang moves in next door. I mean, there's stuff happens, doesn't it? I mean, isn't that a truth? Stuff happens. Verse 7 uses the farmer as an illustration for when circumstances are uncontrollable. He says, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crops and how patient he is. I mean, part of the farmer's job is waiting. Part of a farmer's job description is waiting. Waiting to plow, waiting to plant, waiting to prune, and then waiting for produce. He waits. And yet more than waiting on what he can do, the farmer waits on what he can't do, the things that he can't control. He can't control the rain. He can't control the sun. He can't control the economy. He can't control labor laws. He can't control the price of corn. He can't control some things. And that's what he is to wait on. Not what he can do, but on what he can't do. He is to wait patiently. There are a lot of uncontrollable circumstances in life. Have you found that out? There are a lot of uncontrollable circumstances in life. And what do we normally do when we find that things are out of control in our lives? We worry. We worry. And worry has a whole bunch of children, you know, like frustration, anxiety, fear, being passive aggressive, being angry, all comes under the category. It's birthed out of worry. We worry. We try to control it by worrying. Now listen, to worry over what you can change is dumb. I mean, if you can change it and it should be changed, then just do it. Change it. Why worry about that? Get busy and change it. But to worry over things that you can't change is useless. Is wasted energy. Why worry over what you can't change? Well, either way, James says, put away worry and practice patience in uncontrollable circumstances. Do you have some uncontrollable circumstances in your life right now? Something in your family, something in your business, something in your body, things that you can't control. James says, like the farmer, practice patience by waiting on the Lord. The second area, the second time, is when people are unchangeable. Not only when circumstances are uncontrollable, but when people are unchangeable. How many of you would say you have unchangeable people in your life right now? Don't be throwing elbows or anything, but you have unchangeable people in your life. You know, one of life's great frustrations is people who will not change. A spouse, a child, a boss, a coworker, a friend, a congregation. I mean, not this one, the last one, you know, that's why I'm here. It's just they wouldn't change. And here's the reality. The reality is that they may never change. They may never change. In fact, I would maybe go so far as to say, not just the reality they may never, but the likelihood is they won't change. People won't change. That's the reality of your life. Some people in your life will not change. So if they're not going to change, if they're likely to not change, then what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, verse 10 uses the prophets to illustrate what you're to do. It says, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Well, what was the prophet's duty? The prophet was to change people's minds and actions. He was to change their hearts and their minds, their behaviors, and bring them back to God. But what happens when you suggest that people in your life change is what happened to the prophets. People resisted. And they often resisted with hostility and pushback and persecution against the prophet. And yet the prophets were patient. The word patience in the Greek language is a macrothumia. Macrothumia. It's from a compound word. Macro means long. Macro means long. And thumia or thumos means heat, as in thermos or thermometer. It means literally it takes a long time to get hot. It means to have a long fuse. It means to keep your cool when you're tempted to get hot. Like a prophet, don't get overheated with people who resist. With people who won't change in your life, you play the long game. You play the long game. A faith in motion requires developing long suffering in your life with people who resist change. The third is when problems are unexplainable. Problems are unexplainable. James gives the classic example in verse 11. He says, you've heard of the perseverance of Job. You've heard the phrase, the patience of Job. That's where it came from, the perseverance of Job. Job played in the Super Bowl of suffering. I mean, he was at the time, he was the world's wealthiest man. He had everything going his way. He was at the top of his game. But in a two-day period, he lost everything. The wheels came off and his life was wrecked. He went bankrupt. All of his kids died in a tornado. And he got a painfully incurable disease. He lost his finances. He lost his friends. He lost his family. He lost his reputation in the community. And then when Job was at his lowest, Mrs. Job came in. And I just picture this. She just had a snarl. And she said, and she probably said it something like this, curse God and die. She just curled her lips. She said, Job, just curse God and die. I mean, that's great. Job lost everything except a nasty wife. That's the one thing God left. But you know, worst of all, for 37 chapters, as you read through the book of Job, it's painful. For 37 chapters, Job has no clue why he's suffering. God is silent. God is not talking. God doesn't tell him, here's what's going on, Job. He's silent. He suffers. Job suffers in silence, not knowing. And Job had every right to ask, why me, God? I mean, we find in other scriptures, in fact, in Job itself, as it talks about in the introduction about Job, and later on other writers give credence to this, is that Job was the most righteous man that you could ever find. He alone, more than anyone else, had every right to say, God, why me? What is going on? And yet through all of this inexplicable misery, He maintained his faith by practicing patience. How do you maintain your faith? You practice patience. And so when circumstances are uncontrollable, people are unchangeable, problems are unexplainable, you practice patience. That's when you practice patience. Now let's talk about why. Why should you practice patience? Number one, you practice patience because God is in control. I mean, the greatest motive of all, right? To be patient, God is in control. Say that with me. God is in control. I know that sounds simple. We say that all the time, but sometimes you got to tell yourself, you got to remind yourself, you got to remind other people. Hey, listen, God is in control. Three times in rapid succession in verses 7 and then again in 8 and verse 9, James says, be patient, stand firm, don't complain. Why? Because the Lord's coming is near. Be patient, stand firm, don't complain. The Lord's coming is near. Jesus is coming back. Let me say that again, because that deserves an amen. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. Nothing can stop it. And his return, listen to this, his return is the ultimate proof that God is in control. Now, that requires putting faith in the future since that hasn't happened yet, right? But isn't that what faith does? I mean, that's what faith is all about. It's putting confidence in future events. Jesus is coming back. We put our faith in that. That's the ultimate testimony of God's control. And yet, we can do that because God has proven in history that he's in control. If you look in the past, right up to this day, you see a perfect track record of God's sovereign control over events, over life, over history. History really is God's story. History is his story. Everything in the past is his story. He's moving it along. It is under his control. And as God moves his historical purposes to an eternal fulfillment, everything has been planned out. Everything is exactly on time. Everything is going to come about according to God's timing and God's plan, including the details of your life. God is in control, even with the details of your life. And while your situation may feel out of control, those details may seem out of control, no situation, no detail is ever out of God's control. It may seem like it to you, it is in God's control. His sovereignty is, how many of you like Star Trek? Anyone like the Star Trek movies besides me? My favorite space stuff is Star Trek. I love it. I love when there's a black hole that's sucking everything into it. I wish I could buy a black hole. That is just so cool. I want you to visualize this gigantic, enormous, incomparable, the black hole of God's sovereignty, if you will. And nothing can resist it. Nothing can resist God's control. His sovereignty is so strong that your problems are being swallowed in the gravitational pull of his purposes. That was good. Your problems are being swallowed by the gravitational pull of God's purposes. I don't care what you're going through. God is going to work it out. He's going to work it out according to his purpose, in his time, in his way. And so don't ever mistake delay, divine delay, for divine inaction. It's not the case. The sovereign Lord is redeeming your problem for his purpose. I guarantee that. God is in control. So practice patience. Why? God is in control. So practice patience. Number two, practice patience because God rewards it. There's a good motive for practicing patience. God rewards it. Verse 11 says, as you know, we consider blessed those who persevered. Now, patience has all kinds of wonderful outcomes. As tough as it is to be patient, there are some rewards for being patient. Like your character grows, your relationships are deeper, your joys increase, you accomplish goals by being patient. And those are just to name a few, but there are amazing rewards in this life for being patient. In Job's example, we find that because he was patient, the second half of his life was twice as blessed as the first. Everything that Job lost, and he had it all. God gave back to him twice as much because Job practiced patience. In this life, patience pays. But that's nothing compared to the heavenly prize that you're going to get for earthly patience. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, as we endure difficulty, whatever that is, as we endure difficulty in his name, listen to what he says, rejoice, because great is your reward in heaven. For enduring, for standing firm, for persevering, for being patient, in his name, great is your reward in heaven. Both Jesus and James say the next time you are tempted to lose control of your patience, to just lose it, to lose your patience, think about this. Is it worth forfeiting your heavenly reward? The next time you're tempted to lose your patience, stop and think about it. Is as good as this might feel in the moment to just explode, is it worth losing the reward that God has waiting for me in heaven if I wait patiently before him? God's blessing is far better and longer lasting than any temporary pleasure of losing your cool. You know, sometimes it just feels good to lose your cool, but it's short-lived and it's counterproductive. Nothing compares to the glory that we will experience when we get to the other side. And he says, you were patient, you endured, you waited, you persevered. Well done. Enter in to my joy. God rewards it. So practice patience. And then number three, practice patience because God is at work. Why should you practice patience? Because God is at work. Not will be at work, not was at work, God is at work. Verse 11, you've heard of Job's perseverance and you've seen what God finally brought about. He's full of compassion and mercy. Job couldn't see it at the time. I mean, for 37 chapters. And we don't know how many years really before we get to the good part of Job's life at the end of the story when God restores everything. Job couldn't see it, but listen, God was at work. He couldn't see it, but God was at work. Maybe you've been praying. Maybe there's something in your life that you're praying about, and you don't see how God is at work. You don't get the answers that you've been asking for, and you think that God is silent, or God hasn't heard you. Maybe God has said no. Listen, there's a big difference between no and not yet. And maybe the God is just saying to you, just wait. Not yet, but just wait. Trust me. You know, clouds may block your view of the sun, right? But behind the clouds, the sun is still shining, isn't it? You may not be able to see it, but the sun is still at work. It's doing its job. And likewise, God is at work even when you don't see it. Even when you don't see it, God is at work. On Thursday night, perfect timing, the 150 degrees, it felt like, at least 100. Perfect timing, our air conditioning unit went out. My younger daughter, Danielle, would say, first world problems, Dad. But we're not used to that. We live in the luxury of, it feels like this in our house. It went out. And by the afternoon, it was hot. My mother-in-law is staying with us. My mother-in-law is hot. My wife is smoking hot. I'm hot. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, the temperature was hot. It was like 100 degrees. In our house. And so I called up the company that installed our unit and services it. Happens to be owned, the company's owned by my next door neighbor who I led to Christ, who's now part of our church. He's not here today, but I didn't call him. I didn't go knock on his door, hey, come fix this. I called the company like a good boy. Linda said, why don't you pull some strings with him? I said, no, not going to do that. And so I called them the next morning and they said, we'll get right on it. We'll be there next Tuesday. Great. We'll endure. We'll work it out. That night, my neighbor, Andrew, calls me. He said, hey, my scheduler said your next door neighbor's in trouble, and I want to see what I can do. I'm going to get somebody out the next day. So the next afternoon, a guy showed up, didn't even work for Andrew, but he brought him in, a former employee, because they were full up. And the guy came and he looked at it. I'm going, great, it's going to get fixed. And he said, it's shot. It's gone. And so Andrew came over and he said, I'm leaving this weekend, but let me work this out. I'm leaving tomorrow morning. This is Thursday night now. And or Friday night, and he says, we're leaving. So let me work out. He said he called me back the next morning. He stayed awake all night. He said he just, you know, he felt so bad about it. He said, look, I have a unit in my supply, and it's incredibly expensive, but I'm going to work out a deal. I'm going to give it to you at my cost. And this is a five-week wait. Our guys are busy right now. It's a five-week wait. But I'm going to have somebody, if you will allow them, I'm going to have somebody come on Sunday while you're in church and put it in for you. And I went, not a problem with me. We'll make the house available. Whatever you need, we'll do. So this morning, I was a little late getting here from when I normally get here because they showed up. They have the air conditioning unit. The workers are there. And they're at work right now. Do I see them working? Not at all. But do I trust they're at work? Yeah. And when I get home this afternoon, I'm going to be cool once again. Listen, you can't see what's going on right now. But God is at work. God is at work. And when you get home, it's going to be fixed. God is at work. So why practice patience? Why not? God is at work. Romans 8:28 says, we don't see what's going on, but we know that in all things, God is working. Say that with me. God is working. God is working. Some of you just need to hear that. God is working. Whatever your problem, your finances, your relationships, your health, your kids, your marriage, your job, whatever, God is at work. I guarantee it. Even now, even right now, at this moment, while you are patiently waiting for the sermon to get over, I'm helping you develop patience as you're waiting for this sermon to get over. God is at work. I'm going to make you that guarantee. Your God is at work on your behalf. And if that turns out not to be the case, I will give you your money back. You know, at the end of time, I'll give you your money back if it didn't work out. I guarantee it. Right now, at 11:35, God is at work on your behalf. Your project is on his workbench, and he's working. God is at work, so practice patience. God is at work, so practice patience. So that's the when, that's the why, and let's close by looking at the how you practice patience. When, why, and here's how. Here's how you do it. For starters, ready for this? Wait patiently. And wait expectantly. How do you do it? You wait expectantly. Verse 8 says to do what the farmer does. He says, you too be patient. We have a farmer over here, my good friend Bob Egger, his family. They wait patiently. A lot of their work is just waiting patiently, waiting patiently. What does a farmer do? Does he sit on his computer all day long playing Farmville? Oh. He's preparing for a harvest. He's preparing for the harvest. If you've done all that you can do, then you can expect God to do all that he can do. Do what you can do and expect God to do what he can do. That's called faith. It's called faith. What do you expect of God? What is it you're expecting of God? Matthew 9:29 says, according to your faith, it will be done for you. What are you expecting of God? You know, Scripture really is just a series of divine promises followed by admonitions to prepare for their fulfillment. That's why we're called to act as if it's already fact. That's what faith is, isn't it? Faith is acting as if what God has promised already is. That's not just some silly mind game. It's not just like, you know, positive confession. It's not name and claim it or anything like that. It's called faith. It's waiting expectantly for the harvest that God has promised. And so I want to encourage you today. How do you practice patience? Act as if. Whatever you're going through, act as if the answer is already yours. You're going, oh, great, that's really practical. Well, listen to this. Isaiah 49:23 says, no one who waits for God's help will be disappointed. Isn't that cool? No one who waits for God's help will be disappointed. So wait expectantly. But also, this is important, wait quietly. Wait quietly. James says in verse 9, don't grumble against each other. You know, so why does he talk about being petulant in the middle of being patient? What's going on here? Because we have a tendency to run off at the mouth, to run at the mouth when things aren't going our way, when we're going through difficulties. We begin to talk. We talk too much. You know, we get out of bed in the morning and we hit the ground growling, don't we? You know, we come home at night and we're dog tired and we growl at the people around us. We just, you know, we're gripers, we're growlers, we're complainers. That's not acting as if. That's not expecting a harvest. In fact, it's a lack of faith that delays and perhaps even denies God's answer, the harvest that God wants to bring into our lives. When we grumble, you know, we're putting up a fence for God's blessing to come into our lives. And yet we do that so often when we run into difficulty. James warns that for that lack of faith, we will be judged. It's not just something that the Lord goes, I wish you wouldn't do that. It says we will be judged for that. Lamentations 3:26 says, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's good to wait quietly. So you wait expectantly, you act as if, and then you shut up and trust. Simple as that. You just shut up and trust. That's how you wait quietly. And then finally, wait confidently. Wait confidently. Verse 12 says that all you need to say is a simple yes or no. You see, like the farmer, you're convinced of the law of sowing and reaping. You've sown what you need to sow, and now you're convinced that you will be able to reap what God has promised. Like the prophets, you're clear about the word of the Lord, and you know that what God has declared will come to pass. Like Job, you are certain of God's ultimate goodness. Even though right now it doesn't feel real good, you are certain of God's ultimate goodness. And so you can express your confidence in the Lord. And so I want to encourage you. If the Lord is speaking to you today because of circumstances and things that you're going through right now, if you have situations that are uncontrollable, people that are unchangeable, you know, stuff that's just going on that is just pressing in on you, that you would express your confidence in the Lord, that you would just sit still. Just sit still. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act, says Psalm 37:7. Sit still. Reject anxiety. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, pray. Philippians 4:6 says, sit still, reject anxiety, meditate on truth. Don't meditate on negativity, meditate on truth. Think about that which is trustworthy and true, says Philippians 4:8. And then, finally, practice casting. Cast all of your cares on Him, 1 Peter 5:7 says. How many of you are fishermen? You're fishermen. You cast, don't you? You cast. And so Peter is calling us to practice constant casting. You know, what we do is, you know, we take in worry, we hold it in, and Peter says, don't do that. Cast it back to the Lord. You know, reel it in, you go, it's worry, you know, cast it back to the Lord. Practice constant casting. Cast all of your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Why not? Why not do that? Why not practice patience? God's got your back.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.